praise the Lord. Well, the Lord was talking to me about a working knowledge of God's will, a working knowledge. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. A working knowledge. There's some people that don't really want to work things out, and there's some people that will, they're hard workers, but they sometimes will run ahead of the Spirit of God in trying to work things out. So the working that God is talking about today is a working together with Him. Him leading the way, Him prompting the way, guiding our steps. I was reading parts of Miriam's book on the prosperous soul. If you don't have this book, I really encourage you to get it. And if you do have it, it probably would do you good to go back and read some things. When I think about what happened to mankind in the garden, and the fall of mankind, it was, she talks about that it was because man desired not an apple. It wasn't an apple that man wanted. It was the desire to know good and evil. He said he gave him all the trees. The tree of life. But there was one tree he said, do not touch, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in that day you do, you'll die. It was the biggest trauma that man suffered, was when he wanted to know the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, within every human being, there is a fight. And that is a battle between your spirit man and your soul. In Christ, it's easier to live than without Christ. Because with Christ, He will lead you by the Spirit. Though we understand there's good and evil, it doesn't even matter naturally. Though we can say, I know that's evil, I know that's good. It will not benefit us unless it is led by the Holy Spirit. Man outside of God in his fallen state is proud. And therefore, he can think he knows what's going on. But sometimes man is wrong. So the recovery of what happened is that Adam was the beginning of the man that we knew before we knew Christ, but Jesus was the quickening spirit. He's the one that quickens us by the Holy Spirit to what the real issue is in life. We can think we have everything figured out. But what is the real, deep down issue only the Holy Spirit knows? And I really, the more that I get to know the Lord, the more that I get to know the Word of God, the more I understand how terribly traumatic the fall of mankind was. How tragic it was. And one thing that I was sharing when I called my own leader and just asked for the supporting prayer for the wisdom of God in walking through what I was walking through, was I recognized something when I fell. And I want you to think about this in the fall of man. I realized that my soul suffered a trauma, not just my physical body. And that's one thing we have to understand. Anytime anything happens to us, all the way back to the beginning, we can't separate who we are. We're a spirit being, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so anytime something happens, it happens to the whole person. So therefore, what I was sharing with Barbara in Prophetic Ministries, I said, my work right now with the Lord is to recover my soul. My body, I know, it's mending. It's not that. But there's a lot of people that maybe have physical things that have been healed, but their soul still isn't healed, hasn't recovered. And that's the wonderful thing as I traverse back in my life and I see where God has brought me from in just everyday life and situations that happen, how He has taught me how to go to Him and seek Him on these matters. What went on? What is going on? Teach me, Lord. Show me what it is that I need. Show me the way. I was sharing with some people that in the natural, the way to get to where I believed I needed to go for help was tricky. You have to be referred to a specialist to get there. And so in walking so delicately, because see, people can get mad at man, but when you're walking and you're working with the will of God, you don't blame man. You are working with God, realizing you're dealing with imperfect people. And the Lord led me to go to a certain physician, and he messed around with my hand, said, squeeze my fingers, no brace, anything. So I am, and he said, yeah, just start doing that. 90%, there is no fracture. Well, my soul wanted to hear that. Wouldn't your soul want to hear that? He said, but there's, 10%. I said, then go ahead and get the x-ray. And he, a 30-year physician, was shocked because it was so tiny, but it still was there. And it did make a difference in the way I walked through it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the doctor, though God used him. It's the Holy Spirit that we need in walking through situations. The soul, if we're not careful, will try to tell God the way we're going to do something. But really, who do you think knows best on how to repair us after the fall of man? Do you think we know the best? No. So I said, Lord, what's your wisdom? Just give me your wisdom. And what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge?
Wisdom is the application of knowledge.
It's knowing why, when, where. It's knowing all the intricacies of knowledge. A lot of Christians only have just knowledge of something. Just do this, just say this. But they really don't have the wisdom of God to understand why is the Lord doing this. I will say, already, I have benefited on many levels by walking the wisdom of God's way. And I'm very, very grateful for the wisdom of God for myself. And other people are benefiting. I remember years ago, God used me in some medical office. I said, God, why do you use me so powerfully in these situations? I mean, here I am with a broken situation, and you're using me. And he said, because that's where you are. Do you hear what he's saying? That's where you are. And guess what? He can use even an unsaved person where they are in our lives. He can use anything. He used ravens to help Elijah. Where we might think, oh, how can I stand this? You know how he uses unsaved people with me? To deeply understand how much God loves them. and how deeply they need someone interceding for them. And someone to really demonstrate the love of God. Sometimes we can think we love so deeply until we are faced with evil and hatred. And then we are checked on the inside. Do we really have a depth of experiential understanding of God's love? It's good to know ourselves. So, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, is this the kind of fear? A good student will go in and say, wait a minute, what does he mean about fear and trembling? Anybody ever trembled in the presence of God? Anybody here ever trembled in the presence of God? We were watching a program, and they were talking about the Shakers. Well, some people take it and think that's the only way you receive, and so it becomes a pattern. But truly, you can have the presence of God come upon your body, and your body is trembling under the pure presence of God. I've had experiences like that, especially in my early days when God was delivering me from religious spirits, to know that He was a real living God and not just statues and stained glass windows. For it is, this is the trembling work. Sometimes there is a trembling going on in the recovery of areas on the inside of us. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't it wonderful that God's reverential trembling in us is to get us to will first? He's working in us to will, and then we'll go and do. To will. Why? Why are some people not saved? Because there's still a work going on for their will. He never, ever violates the will He gave us. He just frees it so that we can choose Him. He wants us to freely choose Him, not think we have to. That's what religion will tell you. You have to do these things. You have to. But God wants to work in us to will. And if you really search the scriptures and you look at Paul's life, and how he had the encounter on the road to Damascus. You even look at Jesus, which we'll look real closely at Jesus. There was a work in their wills. See, some people can say, oh, we live in a free country. Do we really? Because some people, the freedom that they think they have is really bondage. Thinking that you can do whatever you want is not freedom, especially when God created every person and designed them for a specific work. It's not freedom. It's really bondage. And when you think of the letter to the Galatians, he's saying, oh, who bewitched you? Who tricked you and got you back under bondage? Man, this trickery. And as I was searching the scriptures today and then watching this movie with John last night, I was seeing that there's a lot of trickery, a lot of seduction that has gone on to try to coerce people away from the way God works in us to will. I thank God for the way He brought me to Jesus. By myself, in my house, and just so from my heart saying, Jesus, if I haven't asked you in my heart, I do now. I want to know. I need to know. All of my moves forward with Christ have all been talking to him alone. Of course, God used leaders in my life, but I always have to have that conversation with him. I'm not going to hold any other person responsible. It's between me and Jesus. I want to know. Anytime I want to know anything, why something happened, what's going on here, he's working in my will to do this. Praise the Lord. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So watch any murmuring or complainings when he's working something in you because he has need of you. The labors are few, my friends, but the harvest is plenteous. Would you all agree, by watching the news and your vantage point of this world, that there's a huge harvest out there? Now this word workout that it's an energizing by God. It's actually his life force working on the inside of you. And from that work in you, you're going to get a result. Now isn't that good news? When he's working something in you to get you to move in a certain direction, to get you to obey him in a certain arena, you're going to get the God result. I think that's very exciting. The difference between what happened to our friend Larry and what happened to Jesus is that the blood that Larry lost was bringing death, because it wasn't flowing in him, bringing life. It was leaving him. That's why it scares people when they see blood. But I remember when my son accidentally hit me in the nose and my nose started bleeding and he fractured my nose. I've had more breaks than I am grateful to say I have. But I see how durable my body has recovered. And I remember looking in the mirror with this blood going down my face, and this passage of truth came to me: in your blood live. I was speaking to my nose: in your blood live. Because I had spent time in the scriptures. Live. Live. Stop right now leaving my body. Stop it and live. That was God working. He's working. He's working. Every one of you, he's working in you. Some of you, maybe it's taken some time to get some things worked in you, but he is working. Because none of us have arrived, that's for sure. So a working knowledge of the Lord brings us in to agreement with him. And I'll tell you, when you're in agreement with God, then you have his backing. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's pretty exciting. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Since Jesus is the perfect example to be looking at, it's good to look closely at his life. Do you know there's not one record of Jesus being sick in the scriptures? Not one record of him ever being sick, having a broken bone. He's the model. Now, did the Apostle Paul go through some things? Yes. But Jesus is the model. Anytime we look to a person outside of Jesus as our model, we can get some defective belief systems. Luke 22, verse 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If you're willing, in other words, if you're moving me to just pick myself up and not go to the cross, then you can remove this from me. But what was his answer? No. His answer from God was no. This is what you're going to walk through. But you will raise from the dead. But this is the way you're going to walk through it. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. If Jesus needed strength, saying yes, guess what? We're going to need strength saying yes to some things too. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Agony. What was this agony? It's interesting, the Greek words that are used and what was going on at that time. Because it really was a wrestling on the inside of himself. A wrestling going on. What was the wrestling for?
His will. His full will.
More than just his full will. Yes, it does include. The wrestling was for our salvations. Anybody here ever wrestled in intercession for a soul? What's the wrestling? The wrestling is the enemy trying to convince you they'll never change. When God's looking for an intercessor, looking for someone to stand on behalf. But it says he prayed more earnestly. What does that mean, that he prayed more earnestly? Some people pray really soulishly, but that's not the more earnest that this scripture is talking about. Some people think that when they pray about a situation, they just need to pray harder with a lot of tears and that God will hear them. But this word earnestly literally means he was praying in the perfect will of God. What do you think he was praying? Think about this. If it was you going to the cross on behalf of all men and what you were going to have to walk through, knowing that what you were doing was going to bring salvation to every single human being that would receive, what do you think your more earnest prayer would have been?
That we would receive?
That all would receive?
Yeah. Do you think he maybe said, Lord, I thank you that you will strengthen me every single step of this walk? You will strengthen me when they nailed those nails in my hands. You will strengthen me when they put the sword in me. You will strengthen everything that I will have to encounter. You will strengthen me every single step of the way. Anybody here ever been in a situation where you were living that moment to moment with the Lord, where you needed him every single step? Maybe it was something that you had never embarked upon before, and you needed him that strongly. Jesus was depending on him every single step of the way. Something caused his soul agony. He never had to lay down himself. Do you hear what I'm saying? He never had to lay down and be beaten, and he never had to do that before. And now he's going to have to experience the feelings, the pains, and the sickness of every disease. I mean, can you even try to wrap your mind around this? Of what he was needing from the Lord to do this? He said he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That means there's not an infirmity any one of us could experience that he does not know what that experience was going to be like. And yet, did he, on the cross, change his mind? Did he say, okay, I can't do this? So whatever he was praying earnestly for, he got it. I think sometimes we think that it was just fairy tale land, that Jesus really wasn't going through much, but he did. He laid down and experienced. If he was touched by the feeling of our infirmities, that means he actually understood what it felt like. He just never gave in to it. Any of you ever felt terrible, but you still got yourself up in the morning? You still drug yourself out of bed? Thank God he was touched. When you look at this, you realize that anytime we encounter any opposition, anything that's opposing, whether it's something in us or somebody that's coming and opposing us, we are entering, which you're going to see on TV in a moment, an arena. Back in those days, they entered arenas. Do you know what they did in those arenas? What did they do in those arenas?
They fought.
They fought. And it wasn't...
The Christians
to the lions, absolutely. Hung them on the cross. And it was an arena. So when you hear some of these terms, it's because of what was going on in that day. So the last passage I want you to look at is Jude. Jude is believed to be a half-brother of Jesus. Interesting about Jude is he was not a believer in Jesus until after the resurrection. So can you imagine? He probably was in the upper room if he was a brother. He saw Jesus ascending, but he didn't believe. According to what I researched, he did not believe until after the resurrection. So here we have Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, verse 1, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. What does exhort mean?
Encourage.
Nope.
It's called close to God.
To draw you to God. Why is he, when you hear what he's about to talk about, there was a lot going on in that day that was deceiving believers. So he was calling the sheep close to God. He was exhorting you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And he goes on to warn them of the different things that were taking place. But this earnestly contend has some of the same word when Jesus was going to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says he was in agony. It has this word within it about contention. And it's the word agonizomai. And it means to enter a contest with difficulties and dangers. But endeavoring with strenuous zeal to obtain something. What was the prize that he wanted them to obtain? He wanted them to stay sound in the Word of God because people had crept in to deceive the believers. But he said, you're going to have to enter a contest. You're going to be taken in to an arena. And every battle that we enter, first we want to remember we're sealed for it. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that he will lead us and guide us into the battle. What we need to do within that battle. Some people think when you go into a battle, all you do is scream and fight. But we're going to watch a battle here that, though I don't know if this truly happened, it was the strategy that intrigued me when these men were taken into the arena that were trained to fight, and how some lost, but one person won. And in winning, I want you to think about this as you watch this, in winning in the arena, he was set free. So when we go into a contest, whatever it is, whatever your faith is needing to fight for, whether it's fighting to go to Israel, whether it's fighting for the deliverance of a loved one, whether it's fighting for a new job, whatever the contest is, you do need the wisdom of God when you go into that arena. Otherwise, if you try to fight in your own strength, your adversary is very cunning. And so we have to have the right heart when we go into the arena, the heart of God. We have to be working with God. What's your strategy? Like I said, when you see this, I think you'll be in awe
at how the strategy